This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 15th, episode 1170, brought to you today by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. So good morning, good Friday morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
When you're dead, you're done, so let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together and let the good times roll.
B.B. King, unfortunately, we lost him yesterday. Rest in peace, B.B. King. You know, he lived to a ripe old age for a musician. I'd say what? Musicians' average lifespan's usually about 35.
He lived to say their 30s.
Yeah, exactly. He lived to 89. This is a long time.
Wow.
He was touring into his early 80s. Out there still playing. And boy, could he play the guitar. And I love his voice. I love his singing voice.
Absolutely. Yeah, the blues world and the rest of the world will certainly miss him. I'm pouring out for B.B. King.
He definitely was the king of blues. They said that for years, and that is so, so true. Known for many hits like My Lucille, Sweet Little Angel, Rock Me Baby. I didn't realize that he had been living in Las Vegas and had been there for quite a while. That's where he died. He did die at home in Las Vegas. He was in hospice care at the time. But he began performing in the 1940s. He's worked with Eric Clapton, U2, and a bunch of others. He's done, you know, songs with almost everybody. He was rated at one time as the third greatest guitarist, and I think that's probably a matter of opinion. His lifetime Grammy, lifetime Grammy Achievement Award, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Presidential Medal of Freedom, all kinds of different stuff. B.B. King, really cool. Yep.
Wow.
Love his music. And then, you know, it is the day before the Preakness. And there's some other music that I absolutely love.
Gagasus, Lord of
hey.
Oops, wrong button.
You just had to get it in. You're the one who lost the bet. You lost a bet. You're not allowed to play that, you little welcher.
Yeah, but Robin Donahue's the one I lost it to, and she's been banned more times than anybody else on the show.
By
so.
You.
Hey, I saw a picture yesterday, before we get to Jennifer here real quick. I saw a picture I wanted to talk to you about. It looks like Chad found himself a girl on the beach in Hawaii.
You know, he texted me that picture, and I said, I don't know whether to be flattered or jealous. Like, did you either, A, cheat on me with said girl, or B, do you really want my boobs to be that big? And what we're talking about, you guys, is my husband laying on the beach in Hawaii. And he drew in the sand a picture of what he said was me, and he was wishing I was there, which it was so funny, and it was so cute and so sweet. And then I looked at him like, huh, she's really skinny and has really big boobs. I'm like, that is not me.
And long hair with a ponytail, too. Did you notice that?
Yeah, side ponytail. Yeah. So, I mean, that part, aside from the side part, I'm always having long hair with a ponytail. So that could be me. He should have put a ball cap and sunglasses on it. And then I would have really bought it. But it was art. It was beautiful art.
Actually, he did a good job as far as the art was concerned. And it was a happy, smiley girl, but she did have, double D's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those who want to know what we're talking about, for those who don't go to Horses in the Morning, but Jennifer, maybe you could take that and post it over there. Just since Glenn brought it up. Yeah. sadly, there's a typhoon in Guam, so my husband is stuck in Hawaii.
Oh, it looks like he's suffering.
let that soak in. Yeah, he's stuck in Hawaii. And
with his golf clubs, right? They have their golf clubs along.
Glenn, it's funny you mentioned that. He didn't take his golf clubs, but he is going golfing today.
Yeah, you
he's
can rent,
gonna rent some.
Yeah, yeah, you can rent those. Yeah, that's no problem.
Awesome.
I had to bring it up. I'm sorry.
Thanks for that. He sent me a picture of his Mai Tai.
I was going to ask you if you'd had an operation I didn't know about after looking at that picture. But
yeah, that was nice. He's so funny.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's, am I on mute?
No,
I'm not. Okay. I was trying to post Chad's picture. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, well, it's break this weekend. So be prepared for Kegasus to rear his slightly disturbing beer belly before, during, and after.
Woo-hoo!
We review the contenders for this year's race, and we're going to take a stab at some Preakness trivia. And mid-show, we take a break for the EquityMFG.com really bad ad so we can drop the bar even lower. And in the final furlong, we're going to bring things up a bit when we're going to be chatting with Amelia Fojan, who is the breeder of Dortmund.
That was a good get there, Jennifer.
Both.
Good get.
Job.
Yeah, good get. Jamie, you're up first.
Well, I had to do it because he's been inspiring me since I saw his clinic. I just wanted to wish a happy birthday to, and you can hit the happy birthday song for me, to Monty Roberts. Monty Roberts, now officially 80 years old. 80 years young, sorry. 80 years young.
Happy birthday.
You know what that means?
Oh.
He said it. What? He's going to be doing 80 push-ups today. Said he was going to do 80 on 80. So today,
he did 80 at the clinic I went to. He does it every time. He's ridiculous. 80 push-ups. No, thank you. And I love the fact that, like, you know, he doesn't go all the way down in the push-ups. I mean, he does them really fast and he counts out loud and it's super impressive. And in one of the comments of the video, somebody goes, "You didn't go all the way down, Monty." And he goes, "I'm 80. Shut up, you big jerk.
Yeah, at least I'm doing push-ups, right? How many 80-year-olds can do anything that remotely resembles a push-up?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I can't even do one now.
Let's back
up
a bit, Glenn.
Yeah?
How many
20-year-olds
can do?
That's true.
Just think about that.
I hope to be as mentally and physically alert as he is at 80. You know, anybody would wish that. And, you know, Debbie, I was talking to her the other day. His daughter does the Horsemanship radio show, and she's basically threatening our lives unless we get out to the farm in California this year. So,
twist my arm. You know, I was actually looking. There is he's got so many different education programs that happen. And I'm gonna tell you what, if I didn't have Lucas, I'd be out there. He's got a 2-week-long starting a Mustang from Wild program that he does out there and teaches you how to do it. I think that would be the coolest thing ever to go out there and to be a part of that. Unfortunately, that whole, you know, having a kid thing, God, it just really screws up my horse life. Hello. I would love to do that.
Yeah, it would be fun. He has all kinds of programs. There's always something going on at the farm out there. I can't wait to see the farm too.
Do you think he would let me just go, "Hey, Monty, hold my baby. I'll be right. Let me do this."
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hold
love
the
that.
Kid.
Well, look how many kids he had. He's held a few babies in his time.
You know, that's true. He'd probably be okay with it. I should call.
If not, I know Debbie would. Well, I'm not doing actually a Daily Winnie today. I have something a little different for you, and that is a Horse Radio Network quote of the week from one of our shows. We haven't done one of these in a while, but when I heard it, when I was doing the show, I was like, oh God, that's the quote of the week. This is Chloe Smith. She's a 2-star eventer out of California, And we had her on the Stable Scoop show, and she's also a kennelman at the Santa Fe West Hills Club. And we had her on talking about what it's like to work with the hounds and what her job is. And we were learning all about the life of a kennelman, but she does both. She's also a two-star eventer and has a really nice horse coming up that's going through the ranks. And at the end of the conversation, we were talking about her going to Rolex at the end of the conversation. And she just had the quote of the week, and I wanted Jamie so much to hear this and the listeners too. So here it is. Very good. Well, Chloe, it's been a pleasure to get to know you. We're going to be looking for you at Rolex. 2 years I gave you. So 2017,
we'll
we want to see you there, right? So,
all right. We'll keep working on it.
Yeah, you keep doing that. You're a two-star. You only got two more stars, and then you're there.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just do a couple 2 stars next year. We'll be good to go.
That makes it sound easy, right, Helena? Just two more stars and you're there.
Well, hey, all you got to do is kick and pull, right? Sometimes you kick, sometimes you pull, sometimes you got to do both.
There you go, Jamie. It's easy. All you do is kick and pull.
Gosh, I mean, I'll go straight up through the stars right now. I love that. I think the best quote out of that was, you only got two more stars. It'll be fine. That was the best part, actually. Kick and pull, I've heard before. The two more stars thing is new.
She was a sweetheart. We really liked her interview. It was a lot of fun. You can find it at Stable Scoop. It's out now. She was fun to work, fun to talk to. Well, we have a race tomorrow. Tell us about that, Miss Jamie.
Oh, my gosh. It's Preakness time. Tomorrow is the day. I'm officially not going to bet on it with my app, but you're going to make money on the trifecta, and I'll tell you why. Because you can box in a trifecta American Pharoah, Dortmund, and Firing Line. I mean, is anybody going to pass those three horses, really? Those are the three to watch, right? Okay, so... Don't bet it because I said it. It's not going to happen. But if it does happen, I'm a genius.
But she wants 20%.
And I won 20%. If it posts to this 20% of your $4 you make from that trifecta.
Yes, exactly.
Well, in the first post, you know, there's so much drama going on right now with American Pharoah. And the drama is he can't go from the first post. He can't go from the inside. Even Baffert said, I don't like the one hole. I never like the one hole. Sometimes they don't break as well.
Wait a minute. Does it matter when there's only 8 horses in the race?
I guess it seems like, you know, some people think the horses get pretty stressed when they're up against the rail and they break out because, you know, first of all, second of all, Dortmund is to the right. Dortmund is post position 2. And they've been spending a lot of time together, and I wouldn't imagine Dortmund wouldn't just cut over and just knock him into the fence. It could happen. Dortmund breaks really well, so I think it's going to be I think they're going to be very careful to tell Dortmund's jockey to break straight. Break straight and fast. Don't you cut him off. We're going for a triple crown.
Because they're both Baffert horses, right?
They're both Baffert horses coming from the same barn, and I follow Dortmund and American Pharoah on Facebook, and it's funny, they shipped together, they've been working out together, they're going to be, oh, my buddy's here, and I wonder if, like, horses, when they're racing, get a buddy sour, like, hey, catch up, or one slows down because the other one's behind him. It could happen.
Competitive like Scooter and Beaker, and when we're trotting side by side, they do tend to want to race. So they might be competitive.
Yeah, that's true, and they're not thoroughbred. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch how they treat each other, because there's a picture going around of American Pharoah and Dortmund both on. I'm going to have to find it for you and post it because it is the cutest thing. They caught American Pharoah with his tongue sticking out, and at the same time Dortmund is looking at him, and it looks like he's going like trash talk. It's so funny. Yeah, so it's just great. So I will try to find that and post it. So those are your 1-2.
And if you missed it earlier in the show, Dortmund's breeder is going to be on later in the show. We actually had to rearrange the show a bit. We couldn't get her till after 10 o'clock. So we're doing Really Bad Ads at 9:30, and then we're going to get the breeder on. So don't go away after Really Bad Ads. Stay with us because we have Dortmund's breeder on. That was a good get by Jennifer. So.
And Emil, she's a pretty impressive woman. So, you know, I was going to give her a hard time for not waking up early, but she's a breeder on a farm of 70 horses in Kentucky. She had a lot of work to do this morning. She's going to be done with her day by the time we talk to her.
Yeah, that's true.
In the three post, now this is interesting. You remember Mr. Z, who was the only horse that kind of snuck into the Kentucky Derby. He's trained by D. Wayne Lucas. And Mr. Z was not, like when we talked on Wednesday, he wasn't slated to be in the Preakness. Well, Zayat Stables, who also owns American Pharoah, just sold him. They sold him. They sold him to Brad Kelly, who is on Forbes Fortune 400. You know, like Brad Kelly is like super rich. And Brad Kelly, who owns Calumet Farms now. So he's like, hey, let's put him in the Preakness. I'm going to buy him right now and put him in the Preakness. So it should be, you know, their last horse to really run was Oxbow, who upset, So anyway, they just decided all of a sudden to run him. So they put him in, sold him, bought him, entered him. So the post position changed a little bit from what we were talking about on Wednesday.
I have a fun fact for you. Brad Kelly is the fourth largest landowner in the United States.
Do you know who number one is?
No.
Yes, Ted Turner. I do. Pick me. I just said it.
Jennifer.
Go ahead. The United States government.
Well,
Uncle Sam is.
Who'd you say, Jamie?
It's Ted Turner.
Oh, well, really? Right behind the United States government.
Yeah, exactly. I think he might be actually beating the United States government. Ted Turner used to own the Braves. That's, you know.
Oh, that's how you know that. That's right.
Yeah,
he's from Atlanta. Yeah,
of course. And then he married that wench and now divorced her. let's move on. Number four, the fourth post position, is a horse that came in fifth in the Kentucky Derby, Danzig Moon. Danzig Moon has only won one race at Gulfstream Park, so he is looking for his second victory. They're very happy with the four post, and his odds right now are about 15-1. So kind of long shot, but, well, 15-1 is not super long shot, but to me it's a long shot because he's kind of in some really good company. The fifth post is Tale of Verve. He was entered in the Kentucky Derby, but he did not get in it. So he is owned, check this out, by Canadian diamond mining magnate Charles Fipke. I seriously, if you can put in front of your name Canadian diamond mining magnate, like, you are pretty awesome. Like, I mined diamonds in Canada. Like, who does that? Gosh.
What's a verve?
A verve? I don't know, but there was a band called the Verve Pipe that I used to like. Google that.
Okay.
And then we've got Bodhisattva, who I'm making up that pronunciation. I really have no idea, but I thought it sounded stupid on Wednesday when I didn't know how to say it. So I'm going to go with Bodhisattva, and we'll see if it's right when they start announcing the race. He is one of the three horses to run in the Preakness that did not run in the Derby. So he's only ever run at Pimlico. I don't think he's in the same class as these horses, but stranger things have happened. You know, everybody afterwards is going to go, why didn't we look at that horse? You know, but he's about 20-1 right now. The seventh is Divining Rod, also not in the Kentucky Derby, but you're going to recognize these people. Roy and Gretchen Jackson own Divining Rod. Do you know who Roy and Gretchen Jackson also used to own? That's right, Barbaro.
Okay.
Why is that funny?
It was just the silence was funny. It was just, that's what was funny. Yeah.
I was giving it a little silence. Drama.
Yeah.
Like, what, did I say something? Did I say it wrong?
And
finally,
comedy.
Yeah, and the eighth slot is Firing Line. Firing Line, in six lifetime starts, he's never been worse than second. He was the one with Gary Stevens on board who really almost passed American
Pharoah.
So I just, he's kind of a scrappy dude. He just keeps running in these really tough races, and he's usually second. So I can't put him out. But you know what? I mean, I still like Dortmund. I feel like this race is more his distance. I felt like a mile and a quarter might be too long, but a mile and 3/16 might be perfect for Dortmund. I'm just such a homer. I liked him before the Derby. But like I said, if I was a betting woman, which I am, I would take American Pharoah, Dortmund, and Firing Line as the 1, 2, 3 and box them. And so there's your do not do gambling tip of the day.
And I'll have you know, I just went to YouTube and listened to the announcer at Laurel Park say Bodhisattva.
I got it. I just nailed it.
You did.
Yay!
Bodhisattva is how he said it. So,
well, on Wednesday, I called him Bod His At Va. So
yeah.
I could only go up from there.
Well, that is a good list. Only 8 horses. My official prediction, I'm going Firing Line to beat American Pharoah with Dortmund in second and American Pharoah in third.
Is it because he kind of has that later kick and you're thinking the shorter distance might mess him up?
That's what I'm thinking.
It is what I'm thinking.
And Firing Line, I like the Firing Line there at the end. I kind of think Firing Line's going to just have it out for him. I think.
Jennifer, do you have a prediction?
My prediction.
I am going to go with Dortmund in first and American Pharoah in second.
Okay. I like it. Well, since you took Dortmund, you took Firing Line, I'll start with American Pharoah, Dortmund, Firing Line. Just
well,
so we can mix
safe.
It up. So one of us will win. Well, all of these are safe bets.
Providing, of course, that Bodhisattva doesn't come in.
I know. It's his track, man. It's his state. It could happen. It could happen. I put $2 on him to win, just in case.
There you go.
I think he'll be a little longer.
No, you didn't. You're not
betting.
You put two virtual dollars on. You just imaginary dollars.
You know what? I can't actually bet the trifecta on that TVG app that I have, and I'll tell you why. Because I ran out of money. So I'd have to put more money in. You have to put your money in first. I don't think I'll be able to do it. So, but if I was a betting woman, which, you know, could happen, I could put some more money in and go for it.
All right. Are you guys ready? All of you out there can play along, too, for the trivia. This is Preakness Trivia. This week is Jennifer against Jamie. And no Googling, either one of you. So last week, two weeks ago, we played a Kentucky Derby trivia, and now we got a little Preakness coming at you. So are you ready?
This is going to be a disaster because, you know, as much as it's kind of the one in the middle that you forget.
Well, I got an easy question for you first that I think you'll know the answer to. Now say your name. That's your buzzer. Your name is your buzzer.
Okay.
Since 1925, the Preakness has run at what distance?
A mile. Jamie.
Okay.
I can't follow rules, Glenn. I can't follow rules.
I know.
It's a mile and 3/16.
That is correct. Ding, 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 ding. Jamie gets number one. Jennifer, you awake over there? I'm awake.
All right, test out your buzzer.
Test your buzzer.
Yeah.
Make sure it's working.
Yeah, make sure your buzzer works.
Jen.
Okay.
She's good.
All right. The Preakness was run first in what year? And this is multiple choice.
Okay.
1873, 1897, or 1903?
Jamie?
Yes?
A.
1873 is your answer, and that is correct. Pimlico opened in 1870 and hosted the Preakness during its first spring meet in 1873.
I just remember you telling us that before the Derby because it was older than Derby as far as recorded things. So I picked the oldest one.
Well, Jamie takes the early lead here. Jen is falling behind.
Oh, no.
Catch
She's
up here,
really
Jen.
Stressed.
Let's represent.
Yeah.
How did the Preakness get its name?
Jen?
Okay.
I thought I was waiting for multiple choice.
Yeah, was it a multiple choice?
Nope.
It was some royal guy. It was an English royal guy.
Jamie.
Nope. Jamie.
Is it named after a, like, a flower?
Nope. You both got a burr. It was named after the colt Preakness, who won the first stakes ever run at Pimlico in 1870.
How did I not? Dang, I was going to say that. I almost said after a horse, but then they have those black, well, they're black-eyed Susan, so.
Yeah, wrong one. All right, nobody gets any, I get a point for that one.
You're going to win.
One. A replica of what trophy, considered the most valuable in all of sports, is presented to the winning owner?
Jamie.
Yes.
The Preakness Trophy.
No. Jennifer. Good guess, though.
The Stanley Cup.
No, wrong one. Although it does make the rounds, the Stanley Cup. This is the Woodlawn base. It's originally created by Tiffany and Company in 1860. And I love
that.
This article because it says it was assessed in 1983 for a lot of money.
Wow. Thanks for the details there. That's journalism for you.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know who wrote the article, but that was funny. All right. 2 points for Glenn, where I am now tied with Jamie. I didn't even know I was playing, but this is fun because I could win. Who was the first horse to win the Preakness twice?
Jen.
Yes?
Nobody. It's only for three-year-olds, so you can't win twice.
That's correct.
Yay! Oh, my gosh. I was like, what?
Good answer, Jen. Way to catch on.
Way to go, Jen. Way to go.
Who was the first jockey to win three consecutive Preakness races?
Oh. That's not fair.
Well, she obviously doesn't, so it's not a problem.
No idea.
All right. Pat Day.
I wasn't going to guess Pat Day.
Yeah, he won the Preakness consecutively from 94 to 96, 3 years in a row. He ran on Tabasco Cat, Timber Country, and Louis Quatorze.
Louis Quatorze. Come on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Louis Quatorze is a horse named after a baseball player.
Yeah, I think my favorite ever was the year that Pat Day rode Easy Goer, because Easy Goer is one of my favorite horses, and he lost to Sunday Silence, but he got his comeback when he won, Easy Goer won the Belmont, so I wouldn't have guessed Pat Day.
Well, Glenn now takes the lead, 3-2-1. The winner of the Preakness receives a blanket made of what flower?
Jamie. Jen.
Oh.
Okay, Jamie was first.
Black-eyed Susans.
That is incorrect. Jen?
They're daisies.
That is correct. They're daisies that are painted to look like black-eyed Susans.
Okay. This
and
is
why?
She cheated.
And why is that? Because black-eyed
Jamie.
Susans are not in bloom until later in the year. That's why. So, yeah. So Jennifer gets that one. It's tied up now, 2-2.
She cheated.
Now, all right. This is a multiple choice. In 1975, Master Derby returned the biggest Preakness win ever. What was the winning price for a $2 bet? $75, $52, $48, or $125?
Jamie.
Okay.
I'm just guessing B.
Wrong. It was not $52. Jen, $75, $48, or
$125?
Wrong. You're both wrong. I get another point. It was $48, but that was just a guess. So, yeah.
I was closer, so I should get at least half a point.
Recently deceased trainer Nancy Alberts had the highest finishing Preakness horse for a female trainer. Where did her horse finish? A, fourth, B, first, C, second, or D, third? First, second, Jamie. Third, or fourth? Jamie.
See, I'm just quicker on throwing things out and
get
making myself look stupid.
Jennifer actually thinks about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the selections again?
First, second, third, or fourth?
Let's go with second.
You're correct. That is right. Ding, 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 ding. It's Magic. Magic Wiesner.
Statistically, I should have gotten that one. She only had 25% chance of guessing correct.
Right.
I should have gotten
she
that
She did. Magic Wiesner was second in 2002.
Yeah, but I lost
the last
one.
And Jamie should get this one. What horse posted the biggest winning margin, number of strides, in Preakness history?
Jamie.
Yes. Jen first.
Well, it's got to be Secretariat.
Incorrect. Jamie?
Ooh, let's go with, was it Shackleford? Or Big Brown? Big Brown. Big Brown.
I think you said this name just 5 minutes ago.
Sunday Silence. Dang.
No, maybe
Silence.
You didn't.
No.
Smarty Jones was one at 12
Sunday Silence only won it by neck.
Yeah. Smarty Jones in 2004. All right, just a couple more. Which jockey?
That is awesome.
And by the way, Jamie's still in the lead 3-2, if you don't count me. Which jockey has the most Preakness wins? And I got a multiple choice for this one, if you want to hear it.
Go ahead.
Willie Shoemaker, Eddie Arcaro, Pat Day, or Steve Coffin?
Ooh, Jamie, Jen. I was going to go with Pat Day.
Jen?
I'm going to go with Eddie Arcaro.
Eddie Arcaro with 6 is correct.
Yeah!
Tied up with one more question to go.
I've got this game figured out. Let Jamie go first, and she eliminates one for you.
And eliminates one, right.
That's not very funny.
This is the tiebreaker question. This is multiple choice also. Which trainer has the most Preakness wins? Dwayne Lucas, Bob Baffert, Lucien Lauren, or R. Wyndham Walden? Jamie.
I got this one. This has got to be Bob Baffert. He owns the Preakness.
Jennifer.
What? What are my choices?
Dwayne Lucas, Lucien Lauren, and Wyndham Walden.
I'm going to go Lucas. No, with Walden in
there. Sorry, guys. You have to go back in history for this one. It's R. Wyndham Walden. He had 7, and his last was in 1888. So it's been a while since somebody did that many.
You're the big winner.
So you're tied up. You're tied up. So I'm going to give you a tiebreaker question. Are you ready?
Oh, God. Here we go. I'm ready.
Well, this one is not multiple choice, and it's very easy. You just have to guess a number. How many female jockeys have won the Preakness?
Jamie.
Yep.
I'm going to go with 0.
Jennifer.
2.
Correct! Ding, 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 ding. Jennifer wins. It was 2. One back in 1985 and one in 1994. Two being
Who
the
are
jockey.
They?
They were. It was Patricia Cooksey and Adria Seafeld.
I'm going to check these. I've never heard of any of those people. I'm going to Wikipedia.
Why does everybody always think I'm cheating? Why is that? Yes. Okay,
here we go. In 1985 was Pat Day. And what did you say, 1982? That was a guy named Jack Canel. Boom.
Wait a minute. I have this wrong. That isn't. You're right. It is wrong. I don't know what
a woman has never won the Preakness. A filly has, but a woman never has.
I think I got the question wrong. All right. Take it back.
Hey!
I was incorrect. All right. I have one more question for you. Multiple choice. The largest Preakness crowd of 104,000 was in what year? 1976? 1999 or 2001?
Jen.
Yes.
B.
1999? Incorrect.
Jamie.
76 or 2001?
I'm going to go with 76.
Incorrect. It was 2001. I threw in 76 because it wasn't that Secretariat's year.
No, Secretary was 73, but the biggest Derby crowd was ever in 74. So I was going to stick with the 70s. Gosh, I sound like such a nerd.
It's 2001. You do kind of sound like a nerd. 2001, it was also believed to be the largest ever for any sporting event in Maryland history. Oh, man, how are we going to do this? We're just going to declare it a tie, I guess. Ah, I have it. I win. There we go.
I knew you were going to say that. Fine. You win. Jennifer, we're going to get him back.
Well, there, that's all the trivia I've got. That's it. I'm done. What do you say we do an ad, and then we come back, and we do a little really bad ad? What do you say? And don't forget that we're doing a little early today. There will be more show after really bad ads. Stay tuned, because you're not going to want to miss the Breeder of Dortmund, who's in the race tomorrow. But right now, we have to hear from Kentucky Performance Products.
Gag assist.
Oh, geez, wrong fire.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Spring is here, and so are pastures full of luscious green grass. Spring grass is high in vitamins, minerals, and sugar. Most horses have little problem adjusting to the changing sugar levels found in spring pasture, but for at-risk horses, grazing on sugary grass can lead to big problems such as colic or laminitis. By paying attention to daily temperatures and following a couple of simple rules, you can limit your horse's access to such sugar-laden grasses. In the spring and fall of the year, limit grazing or stop it completely when daytime temperatures are warm and nighttime temperatures are below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Under these conditions, the grass produces sugar during the day and it stores it in its leaves. At night, the plant transfers the stored up sugars to the roots and stems to fuel the growth. If the evening temperatures are cold, the grass will not make that transfer and all of the sugar will remain in the leaves, where it is readily available to your horse. In the summer, when days are sunny and nights are warm, it is safe to allow grazing in the early morning hours, but it should be restricted late in the afternoon or evening. This is because most of the sugar that was produced the previous day has been used for growth overnight. Therefore, the level of sugar in the leaves is low in the morning. But as the day progresses, the grass once again accumulates sugar in its leaves in preparation for nighttime growth. So later in the day, the more sugar-packed leaves become. Because grass is a great source of essential vitamin E, horses that are restricted from grazing, especially easy keepers and horses in hard work, may develop vitamin E deficiency. Lack of vitamin E can result in sore, stiff muscles and neurological problems. Elevate Maintenance Powder from Kentucky Performance Products is an affordable way to provide your horse with the vitamin E missing from his diet. Each scoop provides 1,000 international units of natural vitamin E, and natural vitamin E is absorbed and retained in the tissues at a much greater rate than the synthetic vitamin E found in many feeds and supplements. Best of all, when you choose a Kentucky Performance Product supplement, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for really bad ads a little early this Friday, but we can't pass up having really bad ads. It's a part everybody looks forward to, including us. And I don't know, last week was one of the funniest really bad ads we've ever done. So we hope that you guys have sent in some that will make this week just as good. And of course, we're brought to you by EquityMFG.com. And Colleen, who is a listener of ours, had some things to say about Equity. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Glenn. This is Colleen. I just wanted to leave a couple words for you about the Flex and Fork. I'd have to say the first thing I noticed about the Flex and Fork is how lightweight it is. I used to use the heavy-feeling forks with the high sides, and it was a means to an end. As I'm one of those people who self-admittedly tries to pick up every last bit of manure with each scoop, the forks with the sides lasted longer than the other ones that I tried, but they still ended up breaking in the end. In my experience, the Flex and Fork works for me because it is lighter than other forks that I've used, and it feels stronger. Not because it is made from super heavy plastic, but because the basket actually has give to it when you scoop. So when I'm picking up that extra large pile of manure in a single scoop, I feel the basket flex with the weight instead of hearing the time snap. So when I clean my three stalls every day, I grab a Flex and Fork. It's lightweight, the basket flexes so the tines don't break, and the basket is a totally awesome shade of yellow. Major win for me. I'm just saying. Okay, thanks very much. Bye.
You know what I've determined? Our listeners are so much more eloquent and smarter than we are. That's what I've determined. Why do they listen to us?
Everybody's getting dumb things down every once in a while.
EquityMFG.com. She said it all. What more can we say? Get your Flex and Fork or your Shake and Fork there. Jennifer, what is the prize for today's winner in addition to be entered into the contest for a Flex and Fork at the end of the month?
This week's prize is a copy of The Smart Woman's Guide to Midlife Horses by Melinda Fultz. It is a thoughtful guide to making real your own horse dreams after a life of taking care of others and putting your career first.
Very good. And we'll ship that out to the winner of today's entries. And the names we're giving are the names of our listeners who have found the ads and sent them in, not the ones that actually wrote them. Paige Lyons sent this one in. And this one's pretty good. Child's Pony for reduced price, $8,000. Wow. In Pittsburgh. Silly Putty is a 13.3 hand pony. He is a wonderful kid's pony and knows his job. Now, keep in mind what she has said twice now. Child's pony, kid's pony. My daughter really likes him but doesn't enjoy riding anymore. I would hate for this man to sit around my yard and get rusty. He gets crazy out there, so needs a job. I am offering him at a low, low price of $8,000, but he's worth way more. Do not contact me if you are inexperienced. I will not reply to you.
Let me get this straight. You've got a kid's pony that you're saying is super wonderful, but, oh, by the way, he gets crazy and needs an experienced rider. And he's $8,000,
yeah.
But he's got a great name. Silly Putty
is a
great pony.
So if your 4-year-old is an experienced, accomplished rider, then this is the $8,000 pony for you.
My gosh. That says it all. It says it all. Gay sent in the next one, a 5-year-old stud paint Appaloosa for $1,000. This sounds promising. I would have clicked on that. Oh, all lower caps, no punctuation. I am selling my paint Appaloosa stud. I have owner him since he was born on my... Oh, there's no punctuation either. Come on. Let me start over. I am selling my paint Appaloosa stud. I have owner him since he was born on my parents' farm. I own both parents, and they both have pasted.
It does have what?
He is green bork. Due to not having been riding daily, I have no time, and it's not fair to him. His name is Sadie, or Crusader, and he knows his name.
Well, there's the problem. He's got an identity complex.
But he knows that he can be called many names. He answers to them. He can be ridden. You just have to show him. Oh, love this line. He can be ridden. You just have to show him who's boss.
Well, how do you say with Monty? Now, wait a minute. Monty's 80 today. If he had heard this, he'd be calling us on the phone.
I know. It's like we're doing a disservice to Monty on his birthday to read that line. Show him who's boss.
Show him
he's
who's
had
boss.
A rope.
Crap out of
he's
him.
Had. he's had a rope thrown off of him, likes to hurt animals, at least goats, and doesn't really spook, but could use some more time under the saddle. Under the saddle. That's funny. Would make someone an excellent horse once he's broke. He is beautiful and well-built. Let me know if you're interested.
Couldn't we say that about any horse? Would make someone an excellent horse once he's broke? I mean,
once you train him really well, yes, he's going to look, yes, like, know a lot of stuff.
That's right. It'd be great then. You know, it's funny because when you said five-year-old stud paint, I just thought maybe it was one of the varieties sold at like at Lowe's. Stud paint.
He's a stud paint.
I don't know. It's just stud paint. Oh, God. There was so much wrong with that ad. I don't even know where to start. And who calls their... What kind of boy horse that's a stud is called Sadie?
I know. But he knows that name. So you can call him Sadie. All right. Do Janine's.
All right. Janine's got this one. Thoroughbred mixed. Thoroughbred, B-R-E-A-D, like the stuff you eat. Thoroughbred mixed yearling, for sale, must go today, $600. I have a almost two-year-old thoroughbred mixed yearling. Thoroughbred,
like,
mixed yearling, he is gelded. My mom and dad do dressage and jumping. Oh, his mom and dad do dressage and jumping. That's good. I was wondering about that. He is fast, loves to run. We are asking $600 firm, needs home now. He is rechargeable. That's right. He is rechargeable through the Arabian Association. He is rechargeable. Plug a battery. You plug him in. And he gets going. You plug him in overnight. And he's ready to go again to run the next day.
Rechargeable. Wow. And they spelled Arabian A-R-I-B-I-A-I-N.
Arabian.
That's great. He's rechargeable.
The first rechargeable horse we've ever seen.
That is true. That is true. Beth said in the next one, horse. Horse. Sweet paint gelding seeks forever home, $400. Wow, the price is right. Sweet paint gelding, 8 years old, seeks forever home. Excellent backyard type. What is a backyard type? That means lame. That means
good
lame. Needs lots of love and attention because he's lame. Easy keeper, just needs a round bale and some grass. He said he prefers patient teenage girls with horse sense. Text me for pics or come visit. Is that a slam to call him a excellent backyard type? Like, don't take this horse anywhere. He's hideous.
I kind of think that that's what he's saying. And, you know, it didn't say anything about riding this horse, did it? It just said he's an easy keeper and you can keep him in the backyard. And he prefers teenage girls because apparently he really likes that.
Ugh. Weird. Ugh. That's terrible.
Rain dad. It is creepy. You know, Beth, who sent it in, says, it is me or is this a little creepy? It's a little creepy. Yes, it is. Ingrid sent in the following ad. Two-horse bumper pool trailer, $1,000. And this is not even our trailer of the week. 1984 two-horse straight-load bumper pool trailer. It's a fixer-upper. Needs wiring, but lights are intact. Needs floor fixed, and stall mats have been torn up pretty bad. It needs some paint. The skylight vent needs to be replaced. May need tires. Oh, but it has a solid frame. Selling due to divorce, and now have no truck to pull it. No camera to take pics, so come look and decide. $1,000. Apparently she took the camera, too. Oh, yeah.
See, I was thinking he took the truck and the camera, and she is selling this POS trailer, and she clearly has overvalued it at $1,000.
It pretty much, she could have just said what was good about it, not what was bad about it, because that list would have been shorter.
You know, if they would just say, listen.
She could have wrote the ad this way. 1984 two-horse straight-load bumper pool trailer, solid frame, $1,000. And she would have been much better.
This is a nightmare. Do not put a horse in it until you spend another $3,000 fixing it. Bryce sent in the next one, and this one is our trailer of the week because this person did not lose their camera in the divorce. There is a photo of it. One horse trailer. See, this is honest. This is what I'm talking about. One horse trailer. Ugly. Homemade. $350. The right price and honesty. Pictures tell it all. It pulls good. It's solid. And somebody spent a great deal of time building this. Paint would help it a lot. It needs a new home. See, short, sweet, honest, done.
It's a first, though. Look at the tires. They look brand new. They still have all their tread on them.
Yeah, that might be the only thing new.
This is a quite interesting looking trailer. Is there any side to that at all, or could the horses just stick their head out like a dog?
I don't know. And it looks like they could push their way through the walls because that looks like plywood. But it's rusted, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
It is ugly. Yep. And they took the picture in 2010. Did you notice that? So this trailer, they have had this picture for a long time, intending to sell this trailer. Long time.
I bet there's a lot more weeds around it now.
That's right. Jennifer will post this on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. I love this one. Tara Miller sent in this one. It's a picture. I got to tell you what the picture is first. It's a picture of a standing horse statue. It's beautiful. It's painted nicely. It kind of looks like the one that would be on the merry-go-round, doesn't it? It kind of looks like a merry-go-round horse, except this one's standing, but that's a look it has.
That'd be rearing, yeah. Glenn. It's called rearing.
Yeah, okay, rearing. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Standing on its hind feet. Trail horse wanted. Very unique carousel. Oh, here's the thing. Very unique carousel rearing horse. I don't know how the kid sat on it to go on a carousel ride, but anyway. Real horse mane. Jesus. Let's start this over. Very unique carousel rearing horse. Real horse hair mane. Real leather tack. Over 5 feet tall. Old. Paid $1,500 at an estate sale. Have been told by an antique dealer that this could be worth up to triple what I paid. Always the center of attention and a conversation piece. Now, here we go. Would trade for a good trail horse. I will listen to serious cash offers as well. They would like to trade, at least this time, they trading something at value for a good trail horse.
No, alleged value, because to me it says this is always the center of attention and a conversation piece, because if you put this on a merry-go-round, you're getting bucked off. I mean, you can't stay on it. It's
ride
a freaking rearing horse.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have the lion or tiger or whatever it is that Wendy and Jennifer found last week with the saddle on it. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So Shelley sent in the next one. Horse to sail, like I'm sailing, $800, and this is in Beaufort. Oh, Beaufort.
To sail.
Oh, my God. Beaufort is South Carolina. So you know what that means. Oh, my God. This is a bad ad. All right. Let me see if I can pull it together. There's no punctuation. There is no it's all lowercase, no punctuation, and everything is spelled poorly. So we are doing this in a Southern accent. All right. Horse, he's not bad on the saddle, but mean on the ground. No. I can't focus with all these misspellings trying to do a Southern accent.
That. Let's just analyze that. He's not bad in the saddle, but mean on the ground. That's because he can't reach you to bite you when you're in the saddle. Go ahead.
Horse, he's not bad on the saddle, but mean on the ground. He can be nippy, not genital with kids. But adults can manage. Can do the bucking and kick anything behind him. He's mean, but a nice boy. Rides well, walks up, canter. This is epic. Can jump smaller poles, but can be four-wad, so experienced ridder needed. Is often described as plumpy. Or pudgy by my friend. So he really needs a home where he's worked so he can be a kid's horse. But watch carefully, I want a quick sell or trade for shoots. Work in my barn, a recliner, a chicken coop, or what do you have? Oh, my God.
We'll trade for shoots. Does he mean guns?
Let me read this first line again. Horse, he's not bad on the saddle, but mean on the ground. He can be nippy, not genital with kids.
But adults
but make him
can
a kid's horse. But then it says later to put him as a kid's horse. Oh, my gosh. Okay. That one wins. That is a terrible ad. Oh, my God. I'm going to start looking in the South on Craigslist for ads. If you guys want to win, go to Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, and pick an ad because they're terrible.
Yeah,
not everybody,
just,
I'm sure.
Let's just end the day on that one. I mean, why don't we just end the day on that one?
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
So,
good job, so, Shelley.
I assume you want Shelley to be the winner. That was pretty clear today, I think. So we'll go ahead and give it to Shelley Crosby, was the winner of today's product.
God,
we'll be sending
terrible.
The book out to her. That was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. And, of course, everybody that entered today will be entered to win the Equity MFG Flex and Fork at the end of the month and also entered into the year-long contest for the Equity MFG Shake and Fork, a $300 value at the end of the
nice.
Year. All right, let's take a break for our song of the day. We're going to be coming back talking more Preakness with the breeder of a certain horse in the race, Norman. And we're going to be talking to her a little bit later here in the show. But first, I have for you a little Templeton Thompson with I Love to Run. Right after this word from Uncle Jimmy.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker, and the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hangin' Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. Properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it, and Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors. Apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
Dying for the fame or the pain. Oh. heaven how I made. That's what they'll say when they tell my story.
So sorry, I keep hitting that wrong button. I gotta make sure I take that out of there. I don't know how that got in there.
It's killing
I have
me,
to
Smalls.
Make sure.
Killing me.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. A little different on Friday. We just finished Really Bad Ads, and we're going to be talking more Preakness coming up here in a little bit with the breeder of Dortmund. But first, I wanted to mention our. You know, we talked about our quote of the week. Well, our post of the week and probably the month. And it's a sad thing, really. But we posted about a guest that we had on the show last year in 2014. Her name was Tawny, and she is from California. And if you remember right, her name is Tawny Angel, and she ran the pony rides at the produce market there in Santa Monica. And some animal rights people started coming after her. Well, there were a bunch of vets and stuff that determined that her ponies were healthy, if anything, a little too fat. But the animal rights people keep coming after her, and finally they got it voted through the city that of Santa Monica that she was going to be booted out of the farmer's market. And that she had worked for a long
because
time.
Because why
to
again?
Make,
because why? Why was she getting she had ponies
cruel,
that she did ponies?
Cruel for kids to ride the ponies in that environment at a farmer's market.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So she won the battle for a long time, but Mother's Day Sunday was her last day. The city has officially kicked her out, and she will no longer be doing that. It was very sad, but John Katz, our friend to the writer and author, wrote an article about it on bedlamfarm.com, and I posted it. And it had almost 300 shares and about 50,000 people read it. And there were a lot of good comments there. Just I posted it because, you know, we keep saying here at the Horse Radio Network that it's a slippery slope. We have to protect our rights to have horses and actually use them. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. When they're tired of coming after the Tawnies, they're going to start on other things. And it's a sad story. I mean, she's going to keep her horses. You know, so that's not a problem, but it was a sad story that she lost this battle, and hopefully she goes on and has happy days with her ponies. But But I did want to mention that that post was out there if you want to take a look for it. And the last I heard, Jessica Phoenix has arrived in Canada, and she'll be doing her healing up there closer to home. So we're wishing her the best in her healing there. That was a good thing that she's on her way to healing, and she's one tough cookie. And one other thing before we get to our guest is, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Please, don't let me stop you. You're on a roll.
Well, I was on a roll here. Did you see the video of the Friesians?
Okay, talk to me about, what was that? It was really cool.
It's a video of, I think it's in Germany, from what I could read. It's in Germany, and they're Royal Friesian KFPS horses. And apparently to get them from, they have a whole bunch of yearlings, they look like, maybe six yearling Friesians. And to get them from one field to another, which is a distance down the road, they actually ride one of the horses. I don't know if the horse is a mare or gelding. I don't know what the story is with the horses they're riding. But they ride this horse down the road, and all these Friesian yearlings just follow along. Right down the road at a canter and a trot and everything, and then they finally get them to the new pasture, and they all go out and they all run and have a good time. But, so my question is, they're yearlings, so they're going to follow along to something that looks like it's an authority figure, right? That's the horse that the one person is riding. But my question is, at what age do horses, you cannot trust the horses to do that anymore? There's an age where the switch flips, and all of a sudden they're not going to follow along and they're going to go on adventures. What age is that?
I don't know. I would have thought the younger horses would not have followed. Maybe an older horse would.
Yeah,
they're trotting and cantering down the road. But the grass is like knee-high, beautiful, lush, gorgeous green grass. The fact that a yearling doesn't just go bucking and kicking and running off and eating grass, I can't even believe it. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, there was a lot of comments about, how dangerous it was. And putting all of that aside, I get that. It was kind of cool to watch.
It was cool to watch. It was cool. Well, hey, I got a couple of news stories for you because, we love to talk about how people are making, good things happen. And there is a zoo in the Netherlands. And we talked about this when I went to San Diego Zoo. I got to see my first ever Grevy's zebra. And what a Grevy's zebra is, they're super endangered. There's only about 2,800 animals in the world. And they're this beautiful black and brown zebra with what would kind of set them apart is they have very rounded ears. Okay, their ears are not pointy, they're rounded, and they have a dorsal stripe that goes all the way down. And they're just really a cool-looking zebra. They're beautiful, and they're super endangered. So a new one was born at the zoo in the Netherlands, and this is the same zoo that we talked about before who lost two in April to colic. So to lose two super endangered animals to colic, it just goes to show you it affects every sort of animal out there, every sort of equid, I guess. So just congratulations to them. But then another really weird zoo story is that there was a kangaroo stolen from a mother's pouch at a zoo in Wisconsin. So they're asking that be returned. How do you steal it? I don't know.
Kangaroos are dangerous. They'll kick the crap out of you.
I can't believe they could do it. I can't believe. Well, we've got our guest on the line, actually, and I'm super excited to talk to her. Her name is Amelia Fojan from Bonaterra Stud, and she is the breeder of Dortmund, and I just learned Flower Alley. So we'll say good morning to Amelia. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm sure I pronounced your name not perfectly correct. Can you do it for us?
Oh, it sounds like Japanese, but it's okay.
Sorry.
No, it's Amelia Fojan.
Fojan.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Got it.
Fojan. Sorry.
Yes.
Fojan.
Yes.
All right.
How are
you? Well, we are fantastic. Good morning from, I guess you're in Georgetown, Kentucky right now?
I am in Georgetown, Kentucky, yes, and I'm actually sitting in one spot here because the connections for the telephone is quite bad. So I found a spot, so hopefully we will not get disconnected.
I hope not. We're so excited to talk to you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? It doesn't sound like you have a Southern accent, so you must not be from Georgetown, Kentucky.
Well, I'm actually from Austria, from the southern part of Austria, and came over here 35 years ago, and absolutely love Kentucky. I'm a true blue Kentuckian now. The farm is about 200 acres. We're right in Scott County. It's beautiful here. And I'm just very fortunate to have this big boy right now. I'm just so thrilled with him.
Oh, my gosh, you should be. So we're going to talk about Dortmund and Flower Alley, but just to back up a little bit, how did you get over here and why Georgetown? I mean, aside from it being one of the most beautiful places on the planet.
Well, I lived in Lexington for a while. We have been on this spot for about 20 years and had a farm in Lexington and moved out here, bought the farm about 20 years ago. And I actually came over here because of a movie called, and you know it, Gone with the Wind. I was 12 years old, and I saw Gone with the Wind, and that changed my entire life. And I wanted to be here ever since. My family has been in the horse business for quite a long time, like a couple generations back. And that's the only thing I always wanted to do.
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. Gone with the Wind is a story about a Southern horribly awful that turns out to be kind of nice woman, and the city gets burned down. I'm from Atlanta, girl. The city gets burned down. There's war and violence and a little bit of love, and that inspired you to leave Austria to get to...
What inspired me was the lay of the land. The beauty of the land. And, you know, Austria, we have mountains, and I do live in the Lake District, but the beauty of the land, and that just fascinated me. I really wasn't so much into the story. It was more like how the land was laid out and what kind of horses you could race on that kind of land. I was much into that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It is beautiful. And I mean, but, you know, it's funny. It just depends on, you know, the grass is always greener. You lived near Salzburg, near the border of Italy.
Oh, no, no. I mean, it's beautiful. It's absolutely a beautiful spot. You know, I grew up about an hour from Salzburg. And
wow.
Just like picture perfect. But, you know, when horses call you, they call you.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you're definitely in the horse capital of the world, real close to the Kentucky Horse Park. So good luck. That's awesome. Great place to live. Now, you are involved in breeding, and you were the breeder of Dortmund.
Yes, I am. And I'm just so unbelievably excited about him. He is an amazing creature.
He's absolutely impressive. I had him to win the Derby. Now, he is a son of Big Brown, who is also one of my favorite horses. Mm-hmm. And Big Brown won the Preakness, so Dortmund's got a good, you know, he's got good lineage. So how did tell us about the mare and who you have.
Well, I always loved Big Brown. You know, Big Brown came undefeated into the Derby, and I was a big fan of Big Brown's. And wanted to breed him the first year, but it was a little steep, and I waited an extra year, and then I bred. I have a mare that looks like she's 17-1, Dortmund's mom, and big, huge, powerful mare. And I love inbreeding to Danzig so I can get close to Northern Dancer, and that way I was able to get Northern Dancer on the top and on the bottom. And Big Brown is a beautiful, refined horse. And Josefina, the mom of Dortmund, she looks like a big old moose. So I wanted to, her nickname is Moosehead.
Every girl wants to be called Moosehead.
She's definitely a Moosehead. And when I saw Big Brown, at that time I was breeding to Flower Alley. Big Brown was standing stud at Three Chimneys. So when I saw him, I was in love with him. He was so balanced and just the perfect stallion. So I bred Josephina to him, and that allowed me to have, because Josephina is out of a Danzig mare, and Big Brown is out of a Danzig mare. So it allowed me to get really close to Northern Dancer. I love getting close to Northern Dancer. And that's how I ended up with a bigger horse than I ever expected. So
yeah, he is absolutely huge. And I can't imagine that Big Brown didn't have to stand on a couple stairs to get to that mare, his mama.
Actually, he did. They had, I think they had three carpets under her.
Oh, you're kidding.
She is definitely a Amazon. She is a very, very large mare. So, yeah.
Well, she knows how to make babies. She does that pretty well. Yeah.
Yes, she does. She's amazing. You know, I always thought, I love that mare. We fold her out here. We bred her and had her mom here. And when she was amazing. Actually, you know, she was just as big as Dortmund. And when we put her in the November sale, she had the same dilemma as Dortmund. She was so big, we couldn't sell her. We brought her home for, I think the last bid was 20,000, and we brought her home, and she was so big and had a little issue in her left knee, always had it. And so we trained her. I trained her myself, and she really could have been any kind of mare. She had a ton of speed. She's a tail of a cat mare, but she was so large and not the typical tail of a cat mare. So she could go 109. I mean, she was amazing. And I just thought I wanted to breed the perfect mile and a 16 horse. So that's another reason I put Big Brown on her. And, you know, have the speed on the bottom as the mare and then the long distance for Big Brown. And when you go back in her pedigree, it's all about stamina. So, you know, Dortmund is bred for stamina. And he's got that speed in there, too, that's going to help him. Because for a big horse, you know, normally a big horse doesn't have that kind of turn of foot. Like, you know, in the Derby when you saw he broke so well. And, you know, what most people don't realize, normally the track at Churchill is really tight for the Derby. Well, that track was not that tight. I walked home on it, and he stayed on the rail pretty much. And that rail trip cost him at least two lengths. The rail was quite deep, and you know when they skimmed the track, they put it on the inside on the outside. So the sweet spot is usually two off the rail. And I don't want to make any excuses for him, but it cost him a little bit, you know.
I used to gallop racehorses at Keeneland, and they would always want to keep them right about two off the rail, exactly, because it just gets the way that the track is kind of angles for the water runoff, everything kind of goes that way. And absolutely, you know, I never wanted to get him deep on the rail. I mean,
I was very shocked that he kept him on the rail, and he hugged him on the rail for about 7.5 furlongs. And I'm like, why are you doing this? Because this horse was just kind of not really having his typical, you know, if you have that sweet spot like you, and you know about it, and then go too away from the rail, it changes everything. So I was like, oh no, please just get him away. It just didn't work out. So.
Well, I really thought going into the Derby, I thought, you know, when I saw American Pharoah run, I thought, oh my gosh, there's nobody that can beat American Pharoah. And then I watched Dortmund, and I'm like, oh, that horse can beat him. So, you know, it just didn't work out. But I think that Milan 316th is going to be the perfect distance for
him. You know, and having a little bout with a colic didn't help him either. You know, he had 4 days for the Derby. So, and that takes a little bit out of a horse, you know, just especially a big horse.
And, you sound like a mama. You sound like a mama right now.
I'm a mama through and through.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, you've got him coming up. Are you going to go to the race? Are you going to watch him?
Well, I wanted to go up there and support him so badly, but I have one of my old mamas also who is about to have a baby, and I owe her to stay here because she always has a very difficult foaling. And so if she doesn't have the baby by tonight, I'm afraid I'm going to have to stay with Spree. So she's as big as a house and mean as a snake. And I had her for, she's 19 years old and so I, you know, and I owe her quite a lot. So I feel like I better stay here for, you never know, there might be one of them running 3 years from now.
Real quick, well, before really you go, do you, now that you know that Dortmund came out so incredibly well, do you rebreed the mare back to Big Brown?
Actually, I did not this time because he went to New York, and I did not want to ship her off. Is a little bit like Dortmund when the weather changes and when the parametric pressure changes. She wants to colic a little bit too, and that's pretty much on big horses. You know, I know her so well, and I just did not want... She never left me, and I just did not want her. I just didn't want to send her up there. I would love to breed her back, but so far she was bred back to Malibu Moon, which is a really good cross too.
Good one.
And hopefully all goes well. You know, I'm just the worst. I'm the worst sending off mares. It's awful.
You're a mama. You're a mama.
I'm a mama. It's bad, and it's it would have been the obvious choice, but I just simply couldn't do it. And Andy Cohen is a dear friend of mine, and he owns Big Brown now, and he made it so tasty for me, but I just simply couldn't do it.
Well, it's time. You know what? Your mare is important enough now. They should be shipping Big Brown down to her. Hey there. I have said it.
You know what? You're absolutely right. You're making a point.
I am. I'll call him up and get that done, okay? I'll make that call. Just don't hold your breath.
Okay, it's a deal.
You are right down the street. I was just noticing where what road you were on, and you are right down the street from one of the hosts at the Horse Radio Network, Reese Koffler-Stanfield, who is a dressage rider. Is her farm is literally a quarter mile from you.
I know. It's a quarter mile on Carrick, yes.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
It's not very far. We have some beautiful land out here. We are very fortunate. We have some amazing topsoil and lots of protein in the grass, and we raise some good horses out here. So
I got to tell you what, too. Jamie would like to reserve Dortmund for when he is done racing and breeding. She would like to have him for eventing, if you could get that arranged, because he would be a great eventer. Yeah.
I bet. You know what? He is so unbelievably kind. He is, I mean, he's tough as nails, but he is such a kind baby. He is still, I saw him at Santa Anita and got to hang out with him for a while, and I left here a little bit early for the Santa Anita Derby, and he's just as kind as he can be, and I think he would make a great eventer, but first he has to win the Preakness and the Belmont and the Breeders' Cup, and then they can...
There you go.
Yeah, definitely the Breeders' Cup. Then you'll get a little bit of that green money that they're going to send your way. That'd be great.
honestly would be nice, you know, when you nominate that many foals every year, you deserve to get a little something back.
Absolutely. What's it with the registration? Is it $500 to nominate every foal? So, my gosh.
500, yes, to nominate. And it actually, you know, it always pays off in the long run. It really does.
Yeah.
You just have to wait, and you have to wait a while, like we all do. You know, nothing comes easy. You just have to stay in this game for a while, and hopefully, you know, sooner or later, something usually. I didn't think, you know, I always thought he was going to be a really nice horse, like a stakes horse. I just didn't think he was going to be so amazing, you know. So I'm so thrilled because he was so kind, you know, he was so kind and so laid back and so easygoing. You know, normally you always think a more spirited horse is going to do better, but in the long run, it pays off when they have a lot of common sense.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're just a breath of fresh air. You're so interesting to talk to, and I could keep talking to you forever, but our show's going to end here, and, you know, I'm just going to come visit you and have a cup of coffee with you when I come back to Kentucky.
Come out and visit, and I can show you Doherty's mama and the whole family. So
love it.
I love to meet you.
Emil, do you have a website?
Actually, I'm I don't have a website. I don't have any clients really, so I'm not advertising. I've just got, you know, my own horses on the farm, but I am on Facebook. So
okay,
and that's about it. Yeah, I'm just not. I do not have a website.
All right. Well, it's Bonaterra Stud, and we are so thrilled to have you on. And thank you so much for joining us. I know you're so busy at this point in the year, so we couldn't thank you enough for being a part of the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, and cross your fingers for the big boy.
Oh, will do. And put some money on him for you, too.
Okay. Nice talking to you guys.
Good to talk to you.
All right. Nice talking to you.
And I'm waiting on that. I will wait on that phone call from the Brick Brown people, okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing that right after the show. I will do that for you, okay?
Okay.
You might want to have, like, a cup of coffee and a drink in the meantime. I'm just
okay.
Oh,
no. Well, take care. Thank you.
Bye.
So thank you for having me on your show. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God, I love her. She's my new favorite breeder of all time. Wow.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
She's a trick.
What a touchdown. And she just
I love her Gone
her
with
horses.
The Wind comment. It was a horrible movie. What the hell made you want to come here for?
I mean, I like the movie, but it meant something that would inspire me to move to the United States, leaving Salzburg. Okay, I mean, jeez.
She's on the border of Italy. Isn't that near the Alps? Isn't that in the Alps?
Dude, she literally lives where the hills are alive.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah, seriously, she could be neighbors with the whole entire cast of The Sound of Music.
I just actually went to Google Maps. It's an unbelievably beautiful city. It's
Maria
that old,
Montrap is her next door neighbor when she grew up, probably.
That tells you a little bit about how beautiful Central Kentucky is, doesn't it?
She didn't see Central Kentucky in Gone with the Wind.
I know
she saw Georgia being burned down and having slaves. Like, nightmare.
Jennifer, that was a good get. That was good. Jennifer actually got a response, too. Tell everybody who you get. Let's give them a shout-out. You got a response from one other group.
Well, I, as a habit, I do collect rejection letters, and I was so thrilled because the Connections of American Pharoah, I wrote to them via, I believe it was via Facebook, and they responded back with, they're a little busy, and they responded back with, I'm sorry, but we are booked this weekend, and I got that directly from Andy, the racing manager's cell phone, so I was so excited. I'm going to put that in my save pile.
So, you know what's awesome is that now he texted you back, so now you have his phone number and we can call him all the time.
I collect rejection letters. I don't collect one of those things that the police give you when you stalk someone.
Yeah.
Well, I
restraining orders.
Yeah, I don't have restraining orders.
As we all know, there might have been a couple out on me regarding Charles Campbell from Zenyatta fame.
Well, that was a fun show. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. Of course, we'll be back on Monday to talk about the results of the Preakness race. I really do hope, you know, I predicted somebody else, but I really do hope America Ferrera wins. I just hope we get the Triple Crown. But we'll see. We'll see.
I know. I want it, but I love Dortmund even more after meeting the Breeders.
I know.
So
she's changed cool.
my loyalties now.
Uh-huh. Right. We're all voting for we're all betting on Dortmund now. We've changed.
AP's people were too busy for us, but Dortmund's people weren't. So Dorty,
right.
As she calls him. So
yeah. I love how she called him Dorty. I hadn't heard that before.
Well, you guys, I gotta go. Have a terrific weekend,
everybody.
Spay neuter geld. Love it. Love you guys.
Gag
assist. Oh.
Saturday in May.
I'm hanging up. Bye.
In the middle of it all, sets the infield fest. As legend goes, the leader of these crazy folk is a half man, half thoroughbred party manimal named Kegasus. Half horse, half man, with beer in hand, he strolls the infield best. He's bold, he rocks, he's hot to trot for girls with beautiful hair. It's Kegasus. He's a mighty stallion, crossed with a human party and heart till the break of dawn. And now the legend lives on.